sports reporter and anchor at News 4 Buffalo. And Heather, hope you're well. Hope your whole family's well. Good to talk to you as always. And before we get to, the Bills, I'm curious if there is like any sort of buzz around the Blue Jays since they called Salem Field in Buffalo home, or has the Bills just, especially with the fact that they've started 2-0, just overtaken it, and now the Jays are kind of old news?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Hope you guys are staying safe and healthy. Always like talking to you guys. Yeah, I mean, people are excited about it, but as you mentioned, you know, the focus is all on the Bills right now. I mean, even if they weren't doing as well as they are right now, everybody is so locked in on Josh Allen, the offense, what they're going to do. But people are excited, though, to have a major league team play here, even though we couldn't have fans in the stands. It's still really cool to just to see it and just to see the city of Buffalo on the map, getting national and international attention like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's been a lot of talk up here, Heather, about the Jays perhaps when we do get back to a quote-unquote regular situation with regular season games being played here in Toronto again, that, you know, maybe there a series or two get played down in Buffalo to as kind of a thank you, which I think would be really cool to see the Jays play down at Salem Field with fans in attendance for a major league game, not just for the Bisons.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. We talked about it before they even started playing here, how it would be cool to see a series or, you know, an exhibition game or something like that. You know, even like a fan fest kind of a thing, you know, intra-squad scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. It would just be cool to, you know, let fans be able to actually be there because there is so much excitement. But then, of course, you know, the downfall is, you know, nobody can go and see them in person. So it would be cool to see something when this is all over and we get back to normal, you know, see them come back here.
Heather Prusak is with us. And, you know, let's dive in here because Bills-Rams is one of the better games of the weekend and probably the game of the day tomorrow with the Monday nighter being, you know, Kansas City and Baltimore. And yeah, the Bills have some injury issues. And let's start in the backfield because Zach Moss is out. He's got a toe issue. Hasn't been terrific in his first couple of NFL games, you know, acclimating, I'm sure. But what kind of opportunity is this for Devin Singletary, who we've talked about, you know, over the offseason and even dating back to last season, wondering what he could do as kind of the quote-unquote bell cow type of running back?
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for him because, as you mentioned, the Bills haven't really gotten their running game going because so much of the emphasis for the Bills' offense in the first two games has been this passing attack because I think Bills fans, it's funny because a lot of people have talked about you know, what's wrong with the running game, but I think it's because Bills fans just aren't used to seeing this kind of offense, right? I mean, you know, for years now, anything on offense has really been relying on that ground and pound. That was, you know, the thing with Rex Ryan and other head coaches, but now to see the Bills offense transform into what it has been, the, you know, for the past 2 weeks, this is what you're seeing around the NFL with other teams. It is a pass heavy league, and that is what fans here just aren't used to seeing because we're not, you know, fans aren't used to seeing the kind of weapons at Josh Allen's disposal and having a legitimate number one wide receiver and a legitimate deep threat. So, but as far as Devin Singletary for this weekend, it is an opportunity for him, especially if for some reason Josh Allen is having trouble getting the ball to his guys and isn't like what he's seeing, because of course there's that premier matchup with Stephon Diggs and Jalen Ramsey. So if he's not liking what he's seeing in the passing game there, then he's got Devin Singletary as an option, and not even just in the running game, but getting him involved in the passing game as well, something that we've seen a little bit through the first 2 weeks. And I think it's something that we're going to continue to see as the season goes along.
An interesting stat I saw was that the Bills are currently the third overall ranked offense in the entire NFL. But if you look at how those stats divvy up, they're first in passing, but 22nd in rushing. So I think I'm interested to see, yeah, like you guys were talking about, how Devin Singletary stacks up, but not even just against the rest of the Rams, but perhaps specifically against Aaron Donald, because I feel like in part the Bills offensive line has been, it's been okay this season so far. It's been okay, but perhaps not as good as you'd hope. hope. And that's mitigated, of course, by the fact that Josh Allen can move as he does and get out of the pocket so easily. But with Aaron Donald in there, I'm really interested to see how that Bills offensive line holds up. And like you said, Heather, that may lead to them doing different things than they have done against, let's say, teams like, I mean, unfortunately, lesser teams like the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see because Aaron Donald, we know, is such an explosive player. He's quick. He's athletic. I mean, he can really wreck a game plan there. But if you look at last week against the Eagles were able to limit his production. They held him to just a tackle. So it's interesting to see how certain teams game plan for him. So I think that that's bad news for the Bills because he's going to come out with even more of, you know, fuel to want to get back, you know, to his, you know, what we're used to seeing from him. And you mentioned the offensive line for the Bills. You know, last week against the Dolphins, they were rotating some guys. You saw Brian Winters and Cody Ford moving around. At one point, Cody Ford was playing left guard, and, you know, normally he's been playing right guard. So there's been a little bit of some movement there, and that's not what you want to hear when you're going up against arguably the best pass rusher in the league. So they're going to need to really be on their game and give Allen time, at least give him a little bit of time to see what he's looking at when it comes to his progressions and his reads and things like that. You know, going up against Donald, they're going to have to buy as much time as they can so that you're not just always seeing him scrambling out of the pocket or, you know, constantly keeping the ball in some of those zone read plays that Brian Daboll has talked about so much so far.
Heather Prusak is with us from News 4 Buffalo. And, you know, Allen having 6 touchdowns and the 2 best, you know, yardage-wise passing games of his career to start the season, certainly fueling early MVP buzz with the likes of Russell Wilson. And, you know, what's kind of, I guess, fueled that play? Is it just more comfort in Dable's system? He's continuing to just kind of spread his wings in that system. Is it Diggs? Is it a different demeanor? You know, what's kind of explained Allen kind of busting through and putting up these kinds of MVP big numbers, albeit in a 2-game size?
I think it's kind of a mixture of everything you just said because it is this confidence and it's this growth and it's this having more of a command of the offense than we've seen in the past 2 years. It's also just being in the same system for 2 years now. It's having the amount of weapons around him at his disposal, because if, you know, he doesn't want to go to Diggs, okay, it's kind of like pick your poison, right? If Diggs is covered or he doesn't like what he sees and he doesn't like that matchup, there's John Brown, Cole Beasley, the rookie Gabriel Davis, even rookie tight end Reggie Gilliam. I mean, who would have thought that, you know? So he's got so many guys around him, and it's, if you're a Bills fan, you've got to be really encouraged with what you see so far, because this is also coming off of this virtual offseason, having very limited time with some of these new pieces. Granted, he was with Beasley and Brown last year, but with Diggs, to see that kind of chemistry that they're having already is really encouraging. So I think it's just being more comfortable and, you know, just I also think, too, it's I think part of it is he's kind of getting out of his own head a little bit, because last year, you know, we talked so much about his accuracy on the deep ball and not being able to hit and connect on those balls. A lot of it, I think, was stemmed from, he even admitted after, I forget what game it was, but he even admitted, he's like, you know, maybe I'm worried about underthrowing it and then it's going to be intercepted. And therefore we saw him overthrow a lot of his receivers on a lot of those passes. So I think that his mental game too, I think that, like, that's such an underrated part of how he's developed, is just having confidence and kind of getting over the hump with that aspect.
Yeah, agreed. I like the word you used, Heather, encouraging, because, like you said, I think the lack of a preseason, no OTAs or limited OTAs, limited aspects of training camp as well, that's all contributed, not just for the Bills, certainly, just for all newcomers in all situations. And Josh talked about Zach Moss earlier. I'm sure that's a part of him still getting, like he said, acclimated to the new situation. So it is definitely encouraging to see all these positive signs from the Bills' offense. On defense, you know, I saw that they've been dealing with some injuries here and there as well. And two guys who I think were limited in practice this week ahead of week three, Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. Are they on track to play this week?
Mm-hmm. You would hope if you're a Bills fan, if you're part of the team. The good news, I'll start with Milano. The good news for Matt Milano is he was limited with a hamstring injury all week, except for Friday during their walkthrough. He was listed as a full participant. He's listed as questionable for the game. So you've got to think that the progression, it looks like he was trending upwards as the week went on. And then as for Tremaine Edmonds, he was also limited in practice. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. With him, the thing that is a little worrisome about Edmonds is he was in the red non-contact jersey this week. So that's something that you're a little concerned about going into the game. But the fact that he also is listed as questionable and not immediately ruled out and wasn't ever out of practice at all this week is also something where there is a little bit of hope there. I think, you know, I'm obviously not a medical profession. I don't have any medical background or anything like that. But if I had to guess on their status, I would say Milano, again, just purely based on the fact that he was full and wasn't ever in the red non-contact jersey. I would like to think that Milano has a better chance of playing than Edmonds, but you know, who knows? We'll have to find out when the inactive list comes out at 11:30 tomorrow.
So I'm really looking forward to, you know, I know it's not a head-to-head matchup, but in a way it kind of is, because you're talking about two of the preeminent corners in the league who play in such a different style, right? Obviously, in terms of the way they do it on the field, but the way they carry themselves off the field. You know, Trey White is humble and, you know, doesn't really like the spotlight. I've watched his press conference after he signed his contract, and it's shone through that that's the kind of guy he is. Whereas Jalen Ramsey is brash. He likes to tell you if he doesn't think that you're very good, as we've seen with Josh Allen, and he plays a certain way. You know, he's a little bit bigger. You know, looking at Trey, do you think he deep down wants to show up Ramsey a little bit, or that's just so far from his mentality that he's just going to focus on his assignment and not get caught up in anything else?
Oh yeah. I mean, these guys are so competitive. I mean, these are two of the top cornerbacks in the league, the two highest paid corners in the league ever. No matter what he would say publicly, I think deep down, anyone with those competitive juices is going to want to outshine the other one, especially when you're in the same game and that's the focus and it's a big talking point, big storyline. Talking to Trey this week, you know, he even said, we're really good friends. We FaceTime a lot. He's like, we take bits and pieces of each other's games and apply it to our own. We make each other better. So especially with the fact that there's this, you know, friendly competition there, no one wants to get outplayed by their good friend and another one that's in that same elite category at the same position. So, you know, obviously if you were to ask him on the record, you know, he's not going to give them any bulletin board material, but I think deep down, anybody with that competitive mindset knows that it's there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think those two guys, the stark contrast, as Josh brought up, between those two guys has been a source of a lot of interesting discussion, let's say, in the lead up to this week. I'm really interested to ask you about Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods on the Rams sides of things, because I'm actually interested, because we're kind of talking about Trey White. Who does Trey White actually end up covering? Is it going to be Cooper Kupp, or Robert Woods has seemingly stepped up to be the number one guy for the Rams? So I wonder if you'll actually see one of these guys follow someone else around, or if it'll be more of a collective effort.
Yeah, you know, that's been a big talking point too, is we were trying to figure out, is he going to shadow somebody, like, well, with what we're most likely going to see on the other side with Jalen Ramsey and Stephon Diggs, or is it going to be more of a zone kind of coverage where, you know, it's going to be a group effort? You know, I would tend to think more in that category, because also you mentioned Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they also have to account for their tight end Tyler Higbee, because he had a monster game last week and we saw what happened against the Dolphins, where they were able to take advantage of you know, Fitz attacking over the middle and hitting Mike Gesicki there. And he had a big game too. So, you know, you talk about Josh Allen having so many weapons in the passing game. So does Jared Goff. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be all right, Trey, you're on this guy and you stick to his hip the entire game. I think it's probably going to be more of that zone collective effort there.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you specifically about Diggs, because you look on field, he's tied for the lead in receiving yards through 2 weeks with Calvin Ridley at 239, had a monster week last week, making plays all over the field, short, intermediate, deep. You know, the on field is obvious what he brings to the table, but what's he bringing to that locker room, you know, that maybe they didn't realize they needed and could really be something that could propel them to the kind of season I think a lot of Bills fans are hoping for?
Yeah, and it's in the locker room, it was an interesting topic when he came over, when they traded for him, because so many Vikings fans, and there was this perception that he was toxic in the locker room and he was a bad teammate and things like that. But really, if you talk to anybody in the organization, they will tell you the exact opposite so far. This wide receiving core has constantly preached that it's such an unselfish room, to the point where during the game, John Brown got on Brian Daboll's headset and said, keep feeding 14. And then at halftime, Diggs is going around saying, okay, this is how we can get John Brown the ball more. This is how we can get Cole Beasley, the ball more and things like that. So when you hear stories like that, it seems like he's a very unselfish guy. He's bringing a lot of leadership to that room. And with all of his experience, that's exactly what you want to hear. Now, I will say, it's all, sunshine and rainbows right now, because they're 2-0 and they beat, the Jets and the Dolphins. But, it's looking good right now. But I'm very interested to see what happens as we get deeper into this very tough schedule they have. I mean, you start with the Rams, and it only gets harder from there. They play Seattle. They play Kansas City. They play San Francisco. Now, their injuries are a different story. But still, you're playing these top-tier teams, so it's only going to get tougher from here. So I'm interested to see if this camaraderie and all of this stays if, things do go south at any point. So it'll be interesting. But right now, I've just heard really, really good things about what he brings to the locker room and that unselfishness that wide receiving core has right now.
Heather, always, always a pleasure talking Bills, catching up. Always enjoy it. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll be chatting throughout the season.
Awesome. Thanks. You guys know where to find me.